Turn your Bibles this morning to Psalm 19. We're going to be looking at Psalm 19 today. So here we are with summer in full swing, right? Everybody enjoying summer so far? Anybody getting outside more than they usually are? Or has it just been too hot? It's like, I'm going to avoid the outdoors. It's been blistering out there. But summer is a fun season. We do lots of things that maybe we don't normally do throughout the year. A lot of times we go on vacations during the summer. We try to get out, especially to places where there's water, where it's cool, the lake, the beach, those types of things. We have different routines. There are usually things like camps happening during the summer because there's no school and kids are going off and doing all kinds of fun things. In a couple weeks, we've got a soccer camp coming up for our kids and they're all excited and I'm like, you guys are going to roast. It's going to be awesome. But they don't mind too much. But summer is a just a different season and we do different things. And as we are in the midst of this, I have been thinking about my routine being different, and how do I maintain an appreciation of God's goodness? Like, I don't want to lose sight in all the different things that we're doing, and maybe I'm out of routine a little bit. Like, how is it that I stay rooted and grounded in the goodness of God? And so to begin to answer that question, we're going to read Psalm 19 this morning. It says this: "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. And night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words, the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So, this morning, we're talking about keeping God's goodness in front of us, making sure that we stay aware of the grace of God no matter what's happening in our lives, no matter what season we find ourselves in. And there are kind of like three categories that I see here in this psalm as he talks about an appreciation of the goodness of God. The first is the goodness of God being revealed in creation, in nature. Then we see him move on to God's moral goodness, his pure and upright character as revealed in his law, in his word. And then we see how we are to observe that goodness. And by observe, I don't just mean witness, but to put into practice that goodness in our own hearts and in our own lives. So we'll begin this morning looking at the first section here of how God's goodness is revealed in creation. He says here that the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech, and night after night, they reveal knowledge. Now, it's just interesting as we think about God revealing himself in the things that he's made. It's amazing to me as I go out and I look at the world and I see the beauty and the complexity and the intricacies of all these things, and it leads me to a place of awe and wonder in God. Like, I just, like, can't fathom. Yesterday, I was outside in the evening, and we all have had this experience. You really couldn't see the sunset because it was cloudy, but the skies were just full of clouds, and yet there was just this orange glow along the bottom of all the clouds. And it was just like, just each night we go out, and it's like just a different piece of artwork that we can appreciate God's goodness. There's something to be said about the idea of beauty. Very often we are very utilitarian. We're like, hey, what is the function of this thing? What is the purpose of this thing? I need it to work. I need it to do something for me. And it doesn't need to look pretty. It just needs to get the job done, right? And we can have a very functional approach to things, and we just want it to do something to benefit us. And we can overlook the goodness of beauty. And yet every day, God reminds us of beauty, and he reminds us that he is worthy of praise because of his majesty. When we talk about the heavens showing off God's glory, we see his power, we see his greatness, we see his majesty. And I just think about how vast God's creation is. Go out at night, and it says night after night, they reveal knowledge. It teaches us things about God. That we go out and we see the stars in the sky, and I like to point out the constellations to my kids. I don't know if they see them or not. I only know like three, so it's not like, you know, but I'm like, that's the Dipper, and there's Orion's Belt, and I was like, you see those three stars? And they just look at me and go, uh-huh. I don't know if they actually see it or not. Sometimes we can see the Milky Way out here. The streetlights kind of get in the way of that, but you can see the stars of the Milky Way. And I think about myself in comparison to all that and realize it's like I'm just a tiny speck on a tiny speck floating in this vast space. And there are people who would go like, well, why would God create all that? Like, seems like a waste. What's the deal with all that? But like, when you're infinite, when you've got all the time and all the power, there's really not much that's wasteful, right? Like, waste is about being inefficient. God has all the time he needs. He's got all the power he needs. Like, he's just showing off his grandeur and his majesty because he longs for us to appreciate it. And it teaches us about his greatness, that he is beyond our comprehension. His power is greater than anything that we can understand. And night after night, the stars are a testimony of the greatness of our God. And to think about, like, if maybe I would feel insignificant, but the fact that that God loves me, the God who made all of that, cares about what's going on in my little puny little life, you know? Like, and that he was willing to go to a cross and die for me, like, that is a profound thing that I need to grasp hold of and just trust in him. If he can do all that, then he can do anything he wants in my life. He is the God of the impossible. So it says that, you know, the heavens, they don't even have to speak. That day after day, there's this regular occurrence of a reminder of God's goodness. They don't use words, and yet their voice goes out into all the earth. And he gives the example of the sun. He just takes one piece of creation. He could have talked about trees. We see that in other passages. He could have talked about stars, but he talks about the sun here. And he says about the sun, it is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, right? So like this celebration of a wedding with the bridegroom rejoicing in his bride, right? We see this idea of joy, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. And think about that. Like, the Olympics are coming up, right? And we're trying to see who's going to be champion of the world in the 100-meter dash or the mile or the marathon or whatever. And, like, I think about running and I go, I'm not rejoicing to run my course when I have to run. Like, I've been trying to exercise lately and, like, I got to move this weight. It's work for me, right? But if you're really good at it, it's like, yeah, look at me. Watch me run this race. Watch me lift this weight. I'm going to show off, right? And it's like the power that's here. And it's interesting that he picks out the sun because he's pointing to the fact that God is the maker of all things. Many ancient civilizations, they would have worshipped the sun as a god. And the writer of the psalm here is saying, no, our God is bigger than that. He's not a created thing that's going to be worshipped. He created that thing that all these other cultures worship. And he talks about the blessing and the joy of the warmth of the sun. Even on these hot days, I still like to go outside and feel it, even if it's just for a few minutes. Like, oh, that feels good. Okay, I'm going inside now. But there's joy as we feel that warmth. It energizes us. It gives us life. It is like a lot of the source of the life that we have on this earth is because of the warmth of the sun. There's blessing in it. And so we see God's goodness in that provision for us as we look at creation. So stop. In your hurry and in your busyness and in the middle of your to-do list, stop and look up. Watch the clouds. Go out and look at the sunset. Go out at night, look at the stars. And ponder the beauty of our God. It's one of the ways that we can stay grounded and rooted in God's goodness. Secondly, he talks about the goodness of God being revealed in God's word. And he goes through all these different things and describes the word of the Lord. He says that the law of the Lord, this is the Lord's instruction, the Torah, God's wisdom for life for the people of Israel he's talking about. The instruction of the Lord is perfect. And that means it's complete. It's not missing anything. It's without fault. There are no problems with it. The law of the Lord is complete, it's perfect, and it refreshes the soul. I know that I need refreshing often, that very often I can be weary, I'm tired, there are stressors in life, there are things to get done, and I have to make sure that I am carving out time and pausing and reading the word of God so that he can speak to me and bring new life to my inner being, new life to my heart and my soul. We need to make sure that we're staying connected to him. Jesus said that he is the vine and we are the branches, and that apart from him, we can't do anything. Like, if we want to bear fruit, we have to be rooted in him. We have to be connected. And one of the ways that we are connected and that we abide in him is that we are in his word, because it is the thing that will refresh us and restore our soul. He says, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. God's word is reliable. It is true, and God is faithful. And when we begin to live life his way, we will truly find life, that is good. When we're inexperienced, we're naive, we don't know which way to go, we can find wisdom in the statutes or the commands of the Lord. And we can trust that he knows best. A lot of times I look at my life and I'm like, well, God, sometimes I think your way's hard. I don't want to do that. That doesn't sound fun or pleasant to discipline myself or say no to that desire. But ultimately, as I yield to him, I figure out that his way is the best way. Like, I'm kind of learning this as a parent. Like, the more I have to figure out how to parent a person, the more I learned about my relationship with God. And very often my kids will question everything I tell them to do. Like, I am so convinced that if a car was going to hit them and I said move, they would just die because they won't listen to me. But very often they'll get into this routine where they're questioning and questioning and questioning. And fortunately, Hannah and I have built up a reputation enough that we go, hey, do mom and dad take care of you? And sometimes we have to remind them of the good things that we provide for them. But, you know, like, hey, do mom and dad take care of you? And they'll go, yeah, you do take care of us. Then trust us on this one because it's going to work out for your good in the end. And that's how, like, God is for us. Like, God takes care of us. And in the moments where I don't want to trust, I've had at least enough experience to know that it is good to go ahead and submit to what God wants because his word is reliable and it will work out better for me in the end. So we trust in his word and find wisdom. It says, the precepts of the Lord are right and give joy to the heart. So precepts is like a legal directive. Again, God's just giving instructions for the ways that we live. And I think about the connection between God's word being right and bringing joy. Like, we just recognize that when things are wrong, there's despair. There's hopelessness. Like, when justice is not done, when we see corruption and cheating and lying and all kinds of problems in the world, right? It just brings pain and misery and suffering. And yet, if we follow the ways of the Lord and do what's right, then we get to experience the joy of that. That there's actual just rejoicing in the fact that things are going how they should go. And I like for things to go how they should go. The commands of the Lord, it says, are radiant, giving light to the eyes. This word radiant means pure, like just bright, white, pure light, right? Like, and it's God gives us understanding, like flipping on the light switch. Now we can see. Now we know what's going on. So we trust in his commands. It says, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. And this is the reverence that we have for God, that we want to be at a place where we recognize that it is right to have a respect for God that honors his holiness. You know, sometimes you see things and you see people behaving in certain ways and like, do you not fear God? Right? Like, we want to understand that God is close and he's intimate and he's with us, but God is not our cosmic buddy. He's not just someone we go to get something out of. He's not Santa Claus God, just fulfill my wishes and make me happy. Like, God is absolutely holy and righteous, and he's ruling over the universe, and we have that awe and respect for his holiness and his purity. That we respect what he says. It says, the decrees of the Lord are firm, all of them are righteous. Decrees are God's righteous judgments, right? Where God is ruling and making decisions. And it says that they're strong, that they're secure, and God always does the right thing. That no matter what, we can trust that God's verdict, God's decision, will be what's right. So then, like, this next section is important. It's so key that I'm just trying to make sure that I'm living here. And to be honest, I don't always. Watch what he says about this. He's talking about all of God's commands, all of God's word, all of God's instructions. And he says, they're more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. Now think about this. Like, what are the objects of your desire? Now, obviously, this was written in ancient times, so one of the things that was highly valued was gold. Now, we don't tend to, you know, value gold maybe quite as much, right? Like, we don't have deposits of gold in our houses. Maybe some of you do. Anybody? Raise your hand. We'll get it on video. It'll go out online. Hope you have some firearms at your house. No, just kidding. But, we don't tend to think of physical gold in that way, but maybe we might think of something like our bank accounts, how much money is sitting in the bank. Because like wealth makes us feel secure, makes us feel like we have some ability or power even. Like the idea here is he's saying, I want your instructions more than I want wealth and stability and power. It's more desirable than the money that I have, than the stuff that I have. He says, your instructions are sweeter than honey. Now, I'm not a big fan of honey, so I'm like, this doesn't mean anything to me. But if you talk about the chocolate cake from Costco that I've been eating all week, then we're talking about something because it's good. It's good, and I've eaten too much of it. And it's like, what are the objects of your desire? Fill in that blank for me. I don't know what it is for you. What are the things that you think about and you're like, I wish I had. It would be nice if I could get. Fill in the blank. And he's saying, God's word, the words of life from God are more valuable, more desirable than anything. Whether it's wealth or pleasure or power or status, prosperity. Do I want God's instruction and way of life more than those things? He says, by them, your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. So this is the part where we begin to talk about God's word observed in our lives. God's goodness observed in our lives. How do we see his character built into us? And it's by keeping his word. It says we keep his instructions and that there's great reward in that. And the idea is that when we do life God's way, we reap the benefits of God's goodness. We do what he says and we get to enjoy the natural outcome of that. And that when we read his word, we see where not to go. We see what the boundaries are, where we're not to cross that because that way leads to destruction. And he begins to get introspective here, and he says, who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. And he begins to recognize that he doesn't always follow up to the perfect, righteous, just standard that God has established in his word. And so he begins to ask God for help in this. And he says, hey, I commit errors. I cross the line. And he says, who can discern their own faults? Like very often we go about life and we have these blind spots, right? We just don't realize where we're missing the mark. Maybe other people see it, and maybe hopefully they graciously say, hey, would you think about this a little bit? But we have these blind spots in our lives, and we just miss out on them. There are ways that I fall short that I just don't even know. And he says, God, would you please forgive me of those things that I can't see? Those faults, those places where I've fallen short, would you please just free me from the consequences of that sin? Would you allow that to be just set aside and forgive me for the things that I miss? Because I know that I miss things. And also, God, I recognize that not only do I miss things unintentionally, but there are times where I am intentionally wanting to go against your desire for my life. God, I should not do this, but I want that. And he says, keep me from those sins, from those willful sins. I don't want those things to be in charge of my life. I don't want those things to rule over me. God, please protect me from those things. Don't let them rule over me, but I want to be blameless and without fault before you. I want to be innocent of breaking those commands. I want your goodness to be applied in my life, and I want to live it out rather than be fumbling around as a fool in the dark. And then a final request here, he says, may the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So he's saying, hey, God, let the things that I'm saying and the things that I'm thinking, the things that I'm praying be pleasing in your sight. And again, talking about staying connected and staying rooted in God, like appreciating the beauty of God in creation, appreciating the goodness of his way of life that's laid out in his word. And he says, I want that to be active in me and the things that I'm thinking about. And like we have to manage the things that we're thinking about. Am I putting God in his proper place? We're told in the scriptures to set our minds on things above. Are we actively doing it? The scripture says to think about whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is good, whatever is trustworthy, whatever is excellent. Like, those are the things that we are, like, actively managing because I want my speech and my inner life to be pleasing, to find favor with God. And he cries out to the Lord, my rock. He's my foundation. He's my protection. And he's my redeemer. He's the one who rescues me from sin, who through his blood has purchased me, bought me out of a life of sin so that I could have life with him. So, as you're going about your days, as you're in a new summer routine, whatever it is, I want to encourage you this morning to stay rooted in his goodness. Don't let those disruptions in routine get you out of place in terms of connecting with God on a regular basis. Take time to see God's goodness in creation, his power, his majesty, his glory. Take time to delight in his word. And if you find yourself like me sometimes where I'm not craving it like I should, like adjust your heart, evaluate yourself. God, where are my hidden faults? Show me these things so that I could set those things aside and pursue you with all that I am so that we can experience his goodness in our hearts and in our conduct, that everything that we do and everything that we think might be pleasing in his sight. Be encouraged and pursue the goodness of God in whatever you're doing in your daily lives. He will meet you there. He will reveal himself, and he will give you strength for whatever it is that you're facing in this life. Would you pray with me today? Father God, I want to thank you for this time that we've had to look at your word. Lord, I pray that you would indeed speak to us and reveal yourself to us. God, I pray that creation would be a daily reminder of your care for us and your joy. God, I pray that your word would be a daily reminder of your perfection and holiness, and also of your kindness to us in Christ as you give us access to your goodness through the work that he has done. Lord, I pray that we would all draw near to you and stay connected to you and be rooted in you. God, we pray for the power to do this through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.